success. Media. Network. 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 Network.
This is your show.
Good day, successors. I'm Antonio Holman, and welcome to the Four Principles of Success, number 54, where I chat with successful people and entrepreneurs about how they enhance their businesses and lives in the areas of knowledge, health, wealth, and spirituality. And if you want to learn how I've stayed motivated throughout the years, check out my new book, Indulge Your Affirmative Motivation Within, 25 Motivations of Personal Development and Life Success, now on Amazon. Today, we're talking to Kim Lambert. Kim is located in Canberra, Australia, is a multiple best-selling author, speaker, writing coach, publishing expert, photographer, and travel writer. At her company, Dreamstone Publishing, Kim has a 100% success rate in taking clients to bestseller status as well. With titles she's created such as Business Book Quick Start Kit, Zero to Book, a 3-day writing intensive workshop, and her product creation launchpad course, Kim is the expert you need to boost your authority, write to inspire, and grow your business or personal profile to a whole new level of success. Kim, are you ready to help our listeners prepare for success?
Absolutely.
Okay, here we go. So, Kim, aside from your busy world of business, tell us a little bit more about your personal life.
Well, as you noted, I'm in Canberra, Australia, and that makes life interesting because I deal with people all over the world who are nearly all awake when I'm asleep. So my life tends to run not and on the usual sort of daytime, but I tend to run from 10 in the morning till 2 in the morning because that way I can connect with everyone. And fortunately, by running my own business from home, I can do that, which is a fantastic thing. I like to travel a lot. That's how I ended up doing travel writing. So as much as possible, I'll do that. We usually travel a couple of times a year. And that, again, is the joy of running your own business and of writing. In that I can do that anywhere that I've got a laptop.
For those who may not know, tell us a little bit more about Dreamstone Publishing and what inspired you to get into the field of writing and publishing in the first place.
My first published piece of work was actually when I was 15 in a national magazine, a horse magazine at the time. It was an article, and I've kind of written all my life since then in various ways. We started the Dreamstone business back in the late 1980s, and we published a hardcover book in 1990. And in those days, that was a pretty painful process. We didn't have anything like the tools and things that we have now. But we decided it was so painful at the time that we went over to art publishing at the time for quite some years, and we published science fiction and fantasy art prints. And then in the early 2000s, the whole Chinese market took off, and you could suddenly get cheap replica posters of almost anything coming out of China, and the market for more exclusive prints went away. And we sort of put a lot of things on hold, and I was doing corporate jobs and contract work in IT, as it happens. And then around 2006, 2007, the whole digital book, digital publishing thing began. And I looked at what was going on and I went, this is the time to go back to the publishing side of things, to look at what's happening and to get in on this stuff early. So I started researching the tools that were available, what was happening, how I could do things. And I started with material of my own that I had and worked on that until I was sure that I understood the tools well enough to be helping other people. And then I set a planning process that got me completely out of doing corporate work about 4 years ago and just doing my own business with the publishing, both my own writing and other helping others write their books and publish their books. Most of my clients tend to be in the helping, healing and coaching sort of space, and that came about almost by accident in that at the point when I was really launching into this, I was in a number of Facebook groups, very large Facebook groups, that were focused around people who were coaches. And I would answer questions in the groups when people were talking about books and writing and publishing. And after a while, people started saying, can you help me? And when I'd originally looked at doing this, I was thinking I would be primarily helping people with the publishing end. But the more questions I answered, the more it became obvious to me that the question people needed help with was, how do I get it written in the first place? How do I turn this idea, or how do I turn this knowledge I have, or how do I turn this jumbled Word document I have into something that could be a book? And that's where I've gone with the business progressively since.
Why should business owners or anyone who wants to boost their brand write a book, and why is now the best time than ever?
Now is the best time because we have all these new tools. So the Kindle device is only 7 or 8 years old now. And the whole concept of digital books is really only 15 years or so old. That's about when you started seeing people selling PDF-based digital books online. And once people started doing that, a bunch of tools came out, and the Kindle was the tipping point, because what Amazon did with that was that they decided that they wanted another way to sell things to people. And what they were looking for very intelligently as a business was something where they didn't have shipping costs to deal with. So they came up with the digital book reader concept and a format for it. And then they needed something to sell to people to read on them, right? Because there was a limited amount of things. And the big traditional publishers were like, why should we do a cheap digital version? You know, our money's in the paper. So Amazon's answer to that was making the self-publishing revolution possible by opening up their Kindle publishing to people who wanted to self-publish and starting to educate people about it. Now, the early days, it was pretty terrible because they took the approach of, you know, just push your Word document up here and it'll all be wonderful. Well, it's not all wonderful if you just throw a raw Word document up there, because your formatting is terrible. There are some things you need to do to make it pretty. But it started this process where people who had never had a path to publishing before could do so. And that's because in the traditional publishing space, they would pay an author an advance, they would employ salespeople, they would be providing shelving into bookshops for their books to go, and massive, they'd be printing up front thousands of copies all before there was ever a sale. So a traditional publisher would only take a tiny percentage of manuscripts. A traditional publisher would only take a tiny percentage of the manuscripts submitted to them, because they'd only take things that they were sure they could sell 5,000 copies of in their region of the world. And no matter how good your book was, no matter how many people globally there might be who would be interested in your topic, if your topic didn't align with the publisher's themes that they published and they didn't think they could sell 5,000 copies locally, they were never going to publish you. So becoming a published author used to be a very difficult thing, because you had to beat the other 250,000 people who submitted their manuscript that year to being selected. As that began to change, we had that stage where self-published things were, as I said, pretty terrible because people were still learning how to use the tools. Now we have a situation where there are businesses like mine that help people who don't want to have to become a publishing expert to produce a high-quality book, but don't want to have to go to a traditional publisher and beg to be published. Very much my approach, and a lot of other businesses, is if you want to write a book, if you want your content out there, that's your choice. I will not be a gatekeeper about whether you should or shouldn't publish. That's your call. I will, however, work with you to make sure that the book that's published is a book you can be proud of and we can be proud of, because I don't want something bad-looking going out under my publishing imprint. So that becomes, it's a case of really a very personalised boutique service, working with someone to produce the best book, the best result of their book that you can. What it means, though, is that now most of the world still regard being an author as something that's hard to do, as something that garners you a lot of authority and respect in your field, which is fantastic because that's what you want. But at the same time, it's easier to become an author than ever before because you can come to a business like mine and I can help you do it. Or if you really are into the tech and you want to learn it, you can learn how to do it all yourself. Sometimes some of the things I do for people is teaching them how to drive the interfaces and the technology so they can go and do it themselves. That's fine. It's, again, your call how much you want to do. But a lot of my clients, being in the coaching and helping and healing sort of space, are by nature not very technically inclined people. And a number of them have said, "You'll do all that for me? Fantastic, here's my credit card." It's like, I don't want to have to learn it. So the options are open, but it means that if you want to be published today, you can. It's that simple.
What is it about books that makes them so inspirational to readers?
There are two parts to that answer. So the really simplistic answer is that just the fact that you've got a book, a published book, will tend to inspire the people around you because it will impress upon them that you know something, right? That you have got enough knowledge to put into a book and to get it out there. And there's nothing quite like putting a physical copy of your book into someone's hand for them to go, "Oh, wow." But the more complex piece of the answer, the other piece of the answer, is about what inspires people in the broader sense. People become inspired, it's not a random thing. Like, it's a process. If you want to inspire people, it's actually a process, and it's about connecting with them. What allows people to become inspired is empathy, right? Allowing them to actually relate to you so well that who you are and what you are allows them to believe that they can be something more than they are now. That empathy is usually achieved through vulnerability. I mean, it sounds crazy, right? Exposing everything you ever did wrong, exposing all your traumas. Most people go, "Oh, but I need to look professional and polished and all." But that's not what people relate to, because they're sitting there going, "Oh, I could never be that polished and I'm not like that." But if you go, "Here's all the stuff that happened to me. I still have a challenge with it every day. I still get nervous if I'm going to go on stage," or whatever it is for you, whatever happens for you. If you talk about those things, people will go, "Oh, wow, they're a real person, but look what they've done. Maybe I could do it too." That's what inspires. So in a book, you portray that by both what you tell them about you, whether that's in an introduction or in about the author section, or if you're a business person and your aim for your book is to get more customers, to have the person who reads the book want to come to your business. That might be a one-on-one coaching session if you do that. It might be going to a course of yours. It might be buying from a product from you, whatever it is. The other thing that you put in your book is case studies. Because if you've got a business now, you're going to have some examples of wonderful things that have happened for your clients because of what you do. And a case study in your book that says, not "Mary did this and amazing things happened, but when I took Mary through my process to do blah, 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 amazing things happened." Because a case study written that way says, you're the cause of the amazing things, or your process or your course or whatever, or your product. Three or four of those scattered through a book. By the time someone gets to the end of your book, they're already sold on you. They're going to come to you. And that's the wonderful thing about digital books. Whilst I recommend having a paper copy of your book that you can hand to people or have on your counter, having a digital book as well not only looks more professional having both, but digital books can have live website links in them. So when they get to the end of that book, having read the case studies and being impressed, you can have a section that says, "Courses by so-and-so, click here," or "Find out more, click," and they go straight to your website out of that book while they're reading it. In the instant, they're inspired by having read it.
Now, you have a process to teach people how to write books in only 3 days?
That's right.
Is this really possible for anyone who aspires to be a best-selling author?
Absolutely, because there are a couple of elements to understand there. And the first one is why people buy books, why people buy anything. People buy books to solve problems for them. Now, if it's fiction, the problem they're solving might be boredom or the fact that they're not happy with their own life and they're living another one vicariously through the story. If it's non-fiction, people are usually buying a book to solve a specific problem, whether that's I'm depressed and I don't want to be, or whether that's I just bought a house and I want to pave out the back and make an entertaining area. It doesn't matter. It's still a specific problem. And they will go and look for a book to help them solve that problem. And whereas 15 years ago, they would go, I'm going to have to buy a book and it will have to be shipped to me and I'll have to pay shipping. And so if they wanted to do the paving thing, they would go and find like a $50 or $60 book on home improvement, which covered everything about home improvement, and they would get that. And it's like 200 or 300 pages of glossy book, but it only had 4 pages on paving in it. But they needed that sense of getting their value for money. Now, with a digital book, you can do a book that's 20 pages long that only talks about paving. They will pay you $4 for it, of which you will keep about 50 to 70%. And they'll get, by the time you allow for title pages and things, they'll get 16 pages on how to do paving, not just 4. Now, that's a pretty good exchange. Lots more people will pay $4 for something than will pay out $50 or $60 for something. So a book doesn't have to be big for a start. Nor does it have to be everything you know about your topic area. In fact, no, don't do that. Don't write an encyclopedia, not in one book, because people won't read it. They'll get overwhelmed. Nearly every business person knows so much about their topic area that they can easily write a series of books. And that is just the best thing to do for their authority. Each book should address just one issue, one thing they deal with. And I normally start with people by, what are the top 5 questions that your clients ask you? I have never met a business person who couldn't answer that. Normally they go, I'm so sick of answering that. Out comes the description. So that's what you write your book about. That's where you start. So you can write it in 3 days because we go through the process of looking at that, identifying, narrowing down on the pieces of your knowledge that people most want, picking the first one of those. Then we look at things like most business people, again, or people with a hobby that they're intensive about, already have 80% of the material they need for a book because they'll have probably a website, they'll have blog posts, they'll have FAQs, they'll have emails they've written, they might have brochures, they might have instructions on how to do something. It goes on and on. So once we've narrowed down to your first topic, then we look at the existing material you've got on that topic. And then we say, does that existing material actually cover everything you need to tell someone? Now, if the person was standing in front of you and asked you that question, how would you answer it? What is the order in which you would tell them things? Do we have existing written material that covers all of that? If not, which bits are missing? Because they're the only bits you actually have to write right now. The rest, you're just doing a bit of an edit, putting it in the right order, and writing maybe some little bits of what I call linking content to make it flow from one piece to the next in chapters. When you think about that, that's really quite easy to fit into 3 days. By the end of the 3 days, you can have it tidied up in a good, solid first draft, ready. You might have to then go and insert some images and things into it because, again, I recommend lots of pictures, diagrams, lots of white space on the page because we're in an increasingly visual world. If you give someone something that is like a solid block of tightly packed text, they won't read it. They'll go, oh, my God, you hit me over the head with a textbook. and they will just put it down. If you give them something, it's got some breathing space on the page, some white space around it, quite a few pictures, some diagrams, their brain goes, I can read this one piece at a time. That's okay. I can absorb that. Because now people carry 500 books on their phone. They read for 5 minutes on the bus and 5 minutes waiting for the meeting. And so their brain is used to working in snippets. People watch video in the same way their brain is used to working with visual stuff. So you give them that in your book and they love you. They go, oh, that was so easy for me to read. But it means you don't need as many words to make as big a book because you're putting all that white space around them. You're putting in all those pictures. So it's really easy to make a decent-sized book out of a single topic that solves one problem for people and is easy for them to read.
Now, as we all know, life's full of ups and downs, and nothing ever stays perfect and good. Throughout your journey, what was that time you felt most unsuccessful?
I've gone through a few complete reinventions of the business along the way. And those have mainly been around things like shifting from expecting the main thing to be just doing the publishing piece to really the main thing is more a coaching and mentoring thing to help people write, to help people get there, to help people get from the overwhelm of either I have no idea where to start, I don't believe I know enough to do this, or alternatively, I know so much, where do I start and do something? So that was the first piece of reinvention. And then I've gone through how do I want to do this? How do I want to work with people? Which bits do I actually enjoy more? And that shifted over time. And right now I'm going through a bit of another reinvention where I'm doing a lot more of my own writing in the fiction space, which I do under pen names. And that's going very well for me. So I'm shifting how much time I spend on which piece of the business. I mean, it's still business. It's still income producing for me, but it's a very different space. And each time I've started to do a reinvention like that, I've had a moment where I've gone, oh my God, did I make the right choice? Am I doing something I really want to do, or is this just all wrong? And I come out the other end of it with a new set of decisions and I roll on.
What was your most challenging client-related situation and how did you resolve it?
There's a couple of examples there. One goes right back to fairly early in the whole business. The very first time I ran the Product Creation Launchpad course, where there was a lady who had signed up and I was connected with her on Facebook, and even before we got to the first week of the course, she was messaging me all of the time, asking me all these questions, and I just hit the point where I went, most of these things are in the course and I can't spend hours and hours answering your questions and giving you things that people pay me thousands of dollars to do for them and help them do. This is my business. You're just asking me. And she got really, really cranky about it and asked for a refund on the course. And so I just gave her a refund. I mean, everybody's own decision. But interestingly enough, what I found out over the next 6 months is that she had been having an absolutely terrible time in her life. She had a whole lot of medical issues and her life had imploded, and I just happened to be the person who collected the backwash of that. And over the next 6 months, she sorted herself out, and because I was still connected to her on Facebook, right, she came back to me and was so nice and has been so nice ever since, been a supporter. So you never know. I've had other things where one of the big challenges in working with people on a book, which has changed how I approach things. So the first thing I do now, if somebody is considering doing a book, is that I'll spend half an hour or an hour on Skype with them or on the phone or in person, depending on where in the world they are, and talk about what their aims are from the book, what their book's about, what they want to achieve, what they expect. And at the end of that, it's not just a case of do they want to work with me, it's a case of do I want to work with them. because there are some personalities that it's not going to work. And there's no point me taking on a client where I will end up arguing with them or they will end up arguing with me and nobody will be happy. And I'm very blunt and upfront. It's a fairly typically Australian thing. And I'm going to say to someone as part of my duty of care to them as a client, if I think it's true, that's a lovely picture. It's really pretty, but it's a terrible book cover and it won't sell your book. And some people can't handle that kind of feedback. In the same way with editing. As far as editing, there are people who are fantastic coaches and teachers in person, but when they try and put it down in words, it doesn't flow. And it can take substantial editing to get it to the point where it flows so that the reader will learn what the writer wants them to learn smoothly. Because in person-to-person stuff, question and answer happens all the time. So the coach's methodology doesn't have to be super, super clear because they can question and answer with the person until the person gets it. When they're writing, you don't have that option. You have to be as clear as possible to as many people as possible up front. That's what editing is about, is helping your writing get to that point. But there are some people who get to the point where their words are precious and they don't want them touched. And again, I do not want to work with those people because I will just get frustrated and so will they.
What do you feel is one of the hardest things in your business to overcome that you've since conquered?
I think for everybody in any business, confidence about your offering, your product and your price is always a challenge. And each time I introduce something new or I change something or I raise my prices because another year has gone by and bills go up, there's always that moment where you go, will this work? Can I do this? And you have to go, no. It's fair and reasonable. I've thought it through. I have to do this.
What one thing in your business are you currently struggling to overcome?
I wish my time management was better. There are so many things that I want to do apart from the pieces of client work I'm working on. And in my own stories with the fiction stuff happening, I have something like 40 books mapped out ahead of me. I have no lack of ideas. I have this enormous pile of other projects I would love to do, and there just aren't enough hours in the day.
What do you feel is your one biggest business triumph to date?
The fact that nearly every book we publish goes to category number one on Amazon. Usually within the first few days, sometimes within the first few hours.
What do you feel is your one biggest personal triumph today?
That's almost impossible to answer. I just don't think about things like that. I'm one of these people who I just get on and do things. I don't. Australians are really bad at self-aggrandizement. It's like, huh? Yeah, I just do this stuff. So it's hard to. Although there is an answer in a sense. You made me think about it now. It's an odd kind of personal triumph in that it's not in my name. So the pen name I write my most successful fiction under now has more Facebook friends than I do. And the email list that I have for fans of that set of writing is heading for 6,000 people. They email me as that persona all the time. People talk to me. People love the books. People read things into them that I didn't think I was writing in there, but they see them in there. And it's both surprising in that whilst you want something like that to happen, you don't necessarily expect it. And it's very satisfying as an achievement to have built a sizable community just around the fact that I tell stories and I enjoy them.
Hang tight, successors. We'll return to our conversation with Kim Lambert as well as Quick Success after a word from our sponsors. Podcasters, want more listeners? Check out promoshareCast.com and join the community today. That's promoshareCast.com. Join today and get the first month free, and you'll also receive 50% off for a lifetime membership. Sign up today. PromoshareCast.com. Are you a tense, tired, busy person who works day in and day out, who tends to lack the proper sleep and energy? Using modular supplements, health-related articles, recipes, life hacks, and more, Bellison can help. With quality as high as Bellison, you're buying from a company that cares about the environment and only uses premium vegan supplements. That's Bellison.com. Want to learn how to cook healthy, exercise, and meditate in just 30 minutes a day? Bellison.com. Want to feel healthy, energetic, and focused like me? Bellison.com. To receive a 10% discount at checkout... Whoa, hold on. Now receive even more health benefits with a 20% discount at checkout. Go to Bellison.com with the coupon code THE4POS to get your 20% off now. Visit Bellison.com. That's Bellison.com. Compassion and quality without compromise. Bellison.com. Are you tired of trying every new diet fad? Sick of the pills, shakes, and vibrating belts? Are you just sick and tired of being sick and tired? Linda Lavender knows exactly how you feel. That's why she created Eat to Live to Love. Eat to Live to Love is a personalized mentoring program 100% unique to you. With 24/7 support, learn to shop smart, save money, eat clean, and find your purpose using the tools and resources you need to achieve real weight loss and transformative healing without ever having to buy another gimmicky fat-sucking wrap or magic protein shake. Eat to Live to Love has been the driving force behind people across the United States to not only change their lives, but to actually take back control. Find out how health coach Linda Lavender can help you become your own hero and transform your life at eattolivetolove.com or call 1-888-440-9795 for a free initial consultation. Stop just dreaming about success and make it happen with Eat to Live to Love. Visit eattolivetolove.com now. That's eat, the number two, live, the number two, love.com. Eat to Live to Love, healing, weight loss, and fitness. And we're back with best-selling author and publishing expert, Kim Lambert. Now we get into the part of the show I like to call Quick Success, where you, Kim, can inspire the successors to enhance their lives in the areas of knowledge, health, wealth, and spirituality. Kim, what are you currently doing to enhance your knowledge?
I read all the time. It kind of goes with doing books. But I'm learning a lot of things all the time on the technology end related to it, because it's my job to know how Amazon and the other platforms work and what's happening in the publishing industry. Amazon changed their algorithms as often as Google, if not more often, and they tell you less. So it's a perpetual exercise in learning to keep up with what's going on. And there are new players in the book market all the time. There are new things happening. So I'm learning every day.
What are you currently doing to enhance your health?
I'm very health conscious in that I've had a variety of medical issues along the way, and I'm one of these people who believes that each person is responsible for their own health. One cannot expect a doctor to do magic, because there is so much medical research going on every day in the world that even a specialist, a deep specialist in a field, cannot keep up with all the new discoveries. So what hope does a general practitioner have? So whilst doctors are someone to work with, to deal with whatever's going on in your life, do your own research, take responsibility, think about your diet, think about what you do with your body, make your own decisions, don't rely on someone else. I'm very strongly on that, and as a result, whilst I have a few things to deal with, on the whole, I'm extremely healthy for my age, and I enjoy that fact.
What are you currently doing to enhance your wealth?
Writing more fiction, because that's really working at the moment. And I would love to get to a point, a few years in the future, where I've built that enough that I actually don't have to do anything else. Because whilst I enjoy helping other people get there, really writing my own stories in the end is more fun.
What are you currently doing to enhance your spirituality?
I like being connected to the world around me. So I'm not someone who can go out and walk around with earbuds in my ears and music going and ignore the world. Like, I don't understand that. I really don't. I will go out for a walk and I want to see and hear the things around me. I'll take my camera with me. That's the photographer side of my life. But I take the camera with me because doing so makes you connect. So I'm always looking for the tiny things to photograph. I love doing really close-up stuff as well as big landscape. Flowers, right? Not just big, fat roses, you know, things, but there are tiny, tiny flowers, like an eighth of an inch across kind of thing. Finding those, you don't see them if you just walk along, particularly if you've got the earbuds in, you're ignoring the world. You know? But you walk along with the camera, you look for things to photograph, you see everything. You actually see the world, and it's completely different. You can connect to the reality of what's out there and how beautiful it is. I also meditate and a few things like that, but it's really about connection.
Are there any modern technologies or apps that help you achieve success?
Well, obviously I spend my days in things like Photoshop and Word and assorted online tools to do with creating books. I spent 30 years in IT. I could not function without my technology. I just use everything.
What new thing, book, activity, or skill are you really excited to learn and dive into?
Again, that's so difficult to answer because there's so many things. I'm not someone who's ever been a narrow specialist. I'm very much a generalist. So I learn and absorb all sorts of things all the time. Mostly the newer things I'm starting to play with at the moment that are really interesting are some of the tools for making like little animations out of still photos and stuff. Things that I can use in not just in advertising books, although it's fantastic to get people's attention, but in blog posts and in all the various bits of social media and that help authors connect with their readers. And there is the ability in Kindle books of a certain type, although there's limited people with access to it yet, but you can actually do books that have embedded sound and video inside the digital book. So that's the kind of thing that I'm just starting to learn about because I am not a video person. So getting my head around some of that, I don't even watch video mostly, so getting my head around some of that is an interesting challenge.
And Successors, Kim has a special offer for you. Kim, what is that?
I have a 50% off bargain deal for you. I have a product called the Business Book Quick Start Kit, which has the templates, the instructions, and the worksheets so that you can do the 3 days to your book at home working through that process. So if you want to write your book, if you're sitting there going, I want new customers, and how am I going to stand out from my competitors? Hey, wouldn't it be good to say I wrote the book on it? Then this is the deal for you. This hasn't been available for nearly 12 months, so this I'll be opening it up for you for the first time in 12 months at 50% off.
All right, Successors, you hear that. It's at dreamstonepublishing.com/bizbookquickkit. That's 50% off with the promo code THE4POS. All of that information will be in the show notes. Kim, how can our listeners connect with you?
They can find me at dreamstonepublishing.com, on Facebook, Dreamstone Publishing, on Twitter, Dreamstone Books, on Instagram, Dreamstone Books.
Finally, Kim, what's your definition of success?
Doing something that makes you enough money to do the things you want to do, and being happy doing it.
Successors, I hope you've enjoyed my conversation with Kim Lambert. Please check out more successful free content like this at the4pos.com, as well as rate, review, and don't forget to subscribe wherever you find podcasts. Thanks for listening and prepare for success. Thanks, Kim.
Thank you.
you want to do more, earn more, be more, and stay more motivated, visit Amazon.com right now for a copy of Indulge Your Affirmative Motivation Within, 25 Motivations of Personal Development and Life Success. Get it now at Amazon.com. Podcasters, want more listeners? Check out PromoShareCast.com and join the community today. That's PromoShareCast.com. Join today and get the first month free, and you'll also receive 50% off for a lifetime membership. Sign up today. PromoShareCast.com.